Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, let's talk about what the original followers of Christ believed. Start us off with the Christian beliefs of Apollinaris, if you will.
Apollinaris is somebody that most people probably haven't heard of. And he was a second century Church of God Christian leader. And I'd like to read something from the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia about him. They call him Saint Apollinaris Claudius. He says he was a Christian apologist. It means he was a writer. He was the bishop or overseer of Hierapolis in the second century. And he's famous for his treatise against heretics, who he said basically picked up things from the pagans. So he would be our type of a person. Now, Hierapolis itself, by the way, it's within the borders of Turkey. It's pretty close to the town of Laodicea. And actually, my wife and I visited before. Now, Protestant scholars, Robertson Donaldson, in the 19th century, said that Apollinaris was a bishop of Hierapolis and probably with Melito and Polycrates was known to Polycarp and was influenced by Polycarp's example and doctrine. Well, Polycarp was a faithful Christian leader, and he, along with Melito and Polycrates, all kept Passover on the 14th. Now, this is interesting because the Greco-Roman churches don't keep Passover then. They switch it to a Sunday, and they call it Easter, but it's supposed to be Passover. But Apollinaris himself, I'd like to read some things that he wrote. He says, "Then there are some who, through ignorance, raise dispute about these things. It's on the 14th day, the Lord ate the lamb with the disciples. The 14th day is the true Passover of the Lord, the great sacrifice, the Son of God, instead of a lamb who was bound, who bound the strong and who was judged, though the judge of living and the dead. He was delivered into the hands of the sinners to be killed. He was lifted up on the horns and they pierced him as holy side. Then he was buried on the day of the Passover." That's what Apollinaris wrote. So he's pointing to the day of the Passover. And, you know, some people, by the way, during that time, thought Passover should be on the 15th instead of the 14th. And he said it should be on the 15th. And an Anglican scholar wrote, "There's no doubt that Apollinaris was a quartodeciman. Those who kept Passover in the evening understood it to be a repetition of the Lord's Supper." Well, early faithful Christians kept Passover on the 14th.
Tell us a little bit about those other early Christians that agreed with Apollinaris on the Passover.
Well, all the faithful Christians in Asia Minor in the second century, like Polycarp, who I mentioned before, who's a Christian leader, kept Passover on the 14th, as well as leaders such as Serapion of Antioch in the third century, and he called Claudius Apollinaris, the bishop of Hierapolis, was most blessed. So we knew that they get along. Mm-hmm. And one of the things when I've looked at church history is you find in the early third century, Asia Minor and Antioch got along fine, and they were the faithful ones because apostasy hadn't hit their areas to a great degree yet. On the other hand, speaking of apostasy, Eusebius, the church historian of the fourth century under Constantine, he records that Apollinaris, along with Serapion and some others, opposed the group called the Montanists. And so he was opposed to them. He said Montanists had pretended prophecy because Montanus pretended or said he was a prophet.
Okay.
And he was considered to be a bishop who enjoyed great distinction. And he had many works that he wrote, but we pretty much don't have them anymore. Now, what's this has to do with early church history? You've got a situation from, I'm going to go back to the Catholic Encyclopedia, and it talks about the Montanists. He says, around 160 they began, maybe earlier, "We hear no false doctrines at first." That's according to the Catholic Encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, they started with the Trinitarian error, because as far as where the Trinity came from in terms of people who profess Christianity, Montanus was one of the first ones. He actually went out and declared that he was the Father, the Son, and the Paraclete, meaning the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the first Trinitarian references to the Godhead. Now, there was actually one a little bit earlier by somebody called Valentinus, and he was denounced by Polycarp, the same one who we believe influenced Apollinaris. Anyway, getting back to this, the Paraclete was a term to signify the Holy Spirit. It is from a Greek word called Parakletos.
Would the Roman Catholic belief of a Trinity differ from the beliefs of the earliest Christians?
Oh, absolutely. The earliest Christians were what we would call Binitarian. And you can find that. It wasn't until decades after Apollinaris condemned Montanus and Polycarp Valentinus that Rome finally condemned them. They actually put up with these people for a while. Now, if you go to the Church of Rome records, they'll say, oh, well, Valentinus and Montanus were apostates. But they actually were part of their church for quite a few decades. Now, but getting back to Apollinaris, he held the positions that the real Christian Church of God still holds. For example, the Passover on the 14th, and the reality of the millennial kingdom, which is prophesied in the book of Revelation. Yet both of those beliefs were actually condemned by the Church of Rome. However, the Roman Catholics observed the 8th of January each year in honor of Apollinaris, even though they don't agree with him.
Well, it's odd that the Roman Catholics would honor someone they don't agree with. Where did Apollinaris get his differing beliefs from?
Well, I'll tell you where he didn't get them from. Just no way he originally got them from his parents, unless his parents changed, because his name Apollinaris means he is belonging to the sun god Apollo.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And Apollinaris would have been a Sabbatarian, so he wouldn't be going to church on a Sunday. Anyway, he probably got his ideas, in addition from the Bible, from other people who were in the era of Hierapolis. The better known ones, by the way, were, for example, one of the original apostles, Philip, as well as a writer called Papias. And Polycrates, who I mentioned before, he mentioned that Philip observed Passover on the 14th, and that Philip died in Hierapolis. So that would be a reason. Okay. And the Catholic Encyclopedia notes that Papias was an earlier bishop of Hierapolis, and he was a hearer of John and a companion of Polycarp. And Papias taught the millennium, and so did Apollinaris. And we find from Epiphanius, a Greco-Roman Catholic historian, around 5th century, he said the notion of the millennium was maintained by Apollinaris, because he wrote, quote, "There is indeed a millennium mentioned by John." Now, this means the Apostle John, who Jesus had penned the book of Revelation. And the Greco-Roman Catholic Saint Jerome wrote that Papias was a pupil of John, Bishop of Hierapolis, and he talked about the second coming of our Lord or the millennium. And Apollinaris and others say that after the first resurrection, the Lord will reign in the flesh with his saints, and they will be with him. And so, you know, the millennium was taught by many people, by the way, that the Greco-Roman Catholics consider to be saints. That's another reason to consider that Apollinaris not only would have kept Passover on the 14th, but he've also kept the other biblical holy days the others did, such as the Feast of Tabernacles, which Christians believe, and believe for a longest time, as far as we can tell, points to the millennium.
Well, at least the Roman and Orthodox Catholic agree with the original Christians in a millennium.
Oh, no, they don't. They used to believe. And they know the early saints believed in it. Oh, no. I read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the new one that came out in 1994. And you read through it, it's only one doctrine mentioned associated with the Antichrist, and that's the millennium.
Wow.
Here is from the Catholic Catechism, 676. The Antichrist deception already begins to shape, take place in the world every time the claim is to main of the millennium. Okay? And so you can read that in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. On my copy, by the way, it's on page 194. Hmm. And that's the only doctrine that they seem to condemn with in the Catechism. And it's also, it's kind of interesting when you get to the Eastern Orthodox. Some of the Eastern Orthodox believe in the millennium. Others don't. Officially, here's what they've said. Kilioism comes from the word 1000, based on a belief on Revelation 20, verses 2 to 7. In classical form, Kilioism teaches that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, which time Jesus and the saints will reign on the earth, after which Satan will be defeated and the eternal kingdom of God will be inaugurated. Mm-hmm. And so they condemn this. They say that this was the Orthodox Church formally condemned Kilioism at the Second Ecumenical Council in 381. Now, in 381, that council was put together by Theodosius, and so they've condemned it. Now, but this was an original belief. Now, the Rheims New Testament, Roman Catholic translation, says in Jude verse 3, we're to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That would be the original saints. Hmm. It also, 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, take heed to yourself and to doctrine, and to be earnest to them. So the Catholic Bible says, don't change doctrine. So does the Eastern Orthodox Bible. It says, Jude 3, fight hard for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, which is basically what the Protestant translations say. And in 1 Timothy 4:16, Eastern Orthodox Bible says, watch for yourself and your teachings. Continue in those things. Well, the true faith was not supposed to change. Now, more on the beliefs, by the way. We have a free book called Beliefs of the Original Catholic Church that people can read. It's very well documented. It includes quotes from Scripture from Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic translations of the Bible. Tell you what the original Catholic Church taught and what the beliefs of the original Christians were, which, by the way, are still held by the Continuing Church of God. Okay. They're available free at ccog.org. And even though Eusebius didn't agree with a lot of things that Apollinaris wrote, he actually said he was a lover of truth, and he put him in that category. So he considered that he was a lover of truth, a significant writer. And the truth is, Passover is supposed to be kept on the 14th, and early Christians did. And the millennium was a teaching of the early church. Early Christians kept that. Trinitarianism was not a belief of the original Christian church, and it was condemned by people in Asia Minor, including Apollinaris, who condemned Montanus. You know, as we see more and more manuscripts uncovered, maybe we'll find out more specifics about Apollinaris and his writing. Until then, realize that he was faithful, and that even the Greco-Roman scholar Eusebius taught that Apollinaris had great distinction among early leaders.
Well, Dr. Teal, going back to the Roman Catholics for a minute, how do they justify their saints believing in what they classify as a doctrine of the Antichrist?
Well, they think nobody really cares. And the other thing that's interesting, you go to Hierapolis, which I've been to, and you see this church building that was built by the Greco-Roman Catholics. All right, so they all, oh, it's our guy. No, they didn't build this until the 5th century.
Yeah.
And so people just think, well, somehow it all kind of worked out. But no, the reality is there were faithful Christians and there were heretics. And we trace ourselves through the faithful Christians, many of which are considered saints by the Greco-Roman Catholics. The original faith was not supposed to be changed, and we haven't changed it. And that should be clear.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.